Hi, Earthlings.
Welcome back to Tomorrow's World,
the segment where we talk about science and society.
This week we had the pleasure and the honour of talking to Super Snapper, otherwise known as Georgia Third,
a young science communicator who has recently handed in her Master's in Marine Science at the University of Auckland.
Isla had an enlightening chat with Georgia about her research on New Zealand's waters, specifically on snapper populations and how our fisheries industry interacts with vulnerable populations.
We'll let Georgia introduce herself and her research.
Kia ora, I'm Georgia Third, and yeah, I'm a marine scientist and science communicator. I just handed in my thesis, which was looking at snapper populations around the country. And I was looking at a bit about how these snapper populations vary externally using photographs and also internally, like what they're eating and how what they're eating depends on what their teeth structure and body structure is like.
Important for Tomorrow's World and for our listeners is to bring this into context of, you know, all right, there's different morphology fish. Why is it important that we have this data on different populations of our fish?
The species that I'm talking about, Crassophorus auratus, is around New Zealand and Australia, and I was looking at populations in New Zealand and Australia. It's a tongue species, and snapper is really important to New Zealanders, particularly recreationally, but also commercially. And increasingly, we're finding that when we think about biodiversity, we often are thinking about biodiversity between species, but biodiversity within species is becoming increasingly recognized as something really important to conserve. And for fish, when we are fishing different types of fish, if we have certain morphs or certain groups that are more vulnerable to fishing pressure, it's really important that we are keeping these in mind. So for snapper, part of my research found that snapper in particular areas are deeper bodied fish, which means they're more likely to get caught in a net at a smaller size. So an implication of my research is then in these areas where they have deeper bodied fish, in certain areas the net size needs to be changed to meet these different sized fish so that we're not catching too many undersized fish. So that biodiversity aspect is really important. And then also I was looking at using this morphological information and diet information to find where the biological populations of snapper are. So when New Zealand set up their quota management system, they kind of just had a guess and put lines on a map about where these fishing boundaries were going to be for these biological populations. But these lines really need to match up with the biological groups so that the more vulnerable groups or biodiverse morphs aren't getting over targeted. So snapper 2 goes from East Cape all the way down to Wellington. And I found that they had a bit of a hypothesis that this might be two separate populations. And I found that indeed the top of the northern part of snapper 2, it looks and behaves biologically differently to the south part of snapper 2. So my work should hopefully contribute to splitting these two populations in half when we do assessments and allocate quotas, that we're allocating quotas to a population and not just a region, which doesn't actually capture the biological information we need. So that's part of it. And the third people aspect of my research is compliance. So fishers have a quota, so they might be able to catch this many tons from snapper 1 area or this many tons from snapper 2, but often fishing trips may span across different areas. So my research, if we suspect that a fisherman might be catching quota from outside where they've been allocated, we could potentially take photos of the fish they've caught and run it through my like algorithm and see, okay, no, it is likely that this fish they've caught have come from this area and not the area that they've declared.
And you know, there's nothing more Kiwi than a classic fish and chip. And I'm sure for many people, that's a snapper. So the idea, you know, people's concerns of, you know, the diversity in populations reducing, is it fishing? Is it climate change? What is happening to our populations? Should we be concerned, or are we simply having too many Friday fish and chip?
Yeah, so this is another really regionally dependent issue and species dependent issue. So for some areas, like the snapper on the West Coast, they're actually doing really well. Their numbers are rebounding. We've had some closures and snapper are responding really well to these closures and they're starting to open up again. But in other areas like the Bay of Plenty, I think the populations are now down to 2% of the unfished biomass. And because of the way that the quotas are all tangled up, because the Hauraki Gulf fish are doing really well, They can keep the quota high for the Snapper 1 area, which is northeast New Zealand, and people can fish their quota in Bay of Plenty, and so Bay of Plenty is really struggling. But in general, snapper rebounding really well. In Hauraki Gulf, we're seeing like some of the highest numbers we've seen for many years. And my research suggests, based on their diet and all these changing temperatures and things, snapper should be doing okay. But we have other species that aren't doing so well. I was recently on a deep sea fishing trip on the NIWA's research vessel Tangaroa, and we were assessing some deep sea biomass of different commercial and other non-commercial species. Yeah, some species in the deep sea aren't doing so well. There is a bit of a crisis with fishing and fisheries biomass. There's so many factors that interact. There's fishing, there's climate change, ocean acidification, all these things can interact and affect fish populations.
I've had the privilege of following your journey, a fish of the day, when you went on your trip. And for those listening, I highly recommend you check out George's TikTok or Instagram and social media, because when she went on this journey, she published a fish of the day, which actually was part of the discovery of the baby ghost shark. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, the famous viral baby ghost shark. So ghost sharks, a lot of people don't realize, but we eat ghost shark. I think it can be, sharks can be labeled as all sorts of mysterious thing in the fish and chip shop, and you might not even realize that you're eating them. But ghost sharks, we don't know a lot about their juvenile biology. We mainly catch ghost sharks as adults, but because they're so deep sea and can have quite different biologies in the early life stages compared to the adult life stages, we don't know a lot. But while I was on this trip on the Chatham Rise, we managed to find a baby ghost shark. It was really exciting. Our shark researcher, Britt Finucci, was very excited. And now she's going to be able to use this baby ghost shark to find out a whole lot more and do a whole lot of research on what's going on in these baby ghost shark life stages to help protect them when they're adults.
And I guess to summarize in general, you know, there's lots of fish in the sea, and it's true. And hopefully for the future, there are a lot of fish in the sea. But for listeners who are either concerned about the fish stocks for their local fisheries, are these fish that I enjoy eating or having recreational purposes with, what should they be doing, you know, on a day-to-day action? What can they do to like support restoration of our stocks of fish, especially snapper?
So making educated choices about seafood consumption. Seafood is actually a really good thing to eat in terms of carbon and other environmental impacts, but we've got to be eating the right seafood. So aquaculture species can be a really good option, and shorter lived species are also a really good option. But longer lived species, one of the worst fish you can eat, and I hate it when I see this fish recommended as a sustainable choice, is orange roughy. It's one of the worst fish you can eat for the environment. It's caught in a really destructive way. Orange roughy live to over 100 years old. And when you're catching orange roughy, it's like guaranteed you're catching fish before they've had the chance to mature and reproduce. And their fish stocks have been fished to basically nothing. Trying to ask questions, you know, if you're at a restaurant and they're serving fish of the day, check what fish it is. Ask them whether this has been sustainably caught or how it's been caught. Different fishing methods have different impacts on the environment. Trawling is worse for the environment than longlining, which is just where lines kind of dangle in the sea and have less impacts on the seabed. So yeah, trying to make informed choices. I think Forest and Bird has a really good fish eating guide.
All I can imagine when you're talking about the orange roughy is like Finding Nemo, his dad watching him go away in the net. So
yeah, orange roughy, they sort of aggregate around seamounts, and they drag sort of these like nets with like bars in them, like basically into seamounts, and like end up like destroying parts of the seabed while like just scooping out like tons of orange roughy.
I hope that everyone listening has learned something new and enjoyed our kōrero with Georgia Third. If they do want to see your content, where should they find you, Georgia?
Yes, I am on TikTok at Fish Science, or also my Instagram, Georgia_Third, and there's a whole lot of all my saved fish of the days and saved other science content on there.
A wonderful tomorrow's world case study and how science intersects with our society.
Compliance in the fishing industry has been a hot topic in recent years as climate change intensifies and our waters get quieter.
Georgia's research will hopefully have tangible impacts on how we take from our oceans. There's some encouraging results that snappers are rebounding well.
Unfortunately, as Georgia mentioned, other species aren't doing so great.
Well, Earthlings, there's a lot of food for thought there.
And a lot of fish and chips.
maybe cut back a little bit on those, or know where your fishies come from. Definitely no orange roughy, please.
And look up pictures of the baby gill shark.
You won't regret it.